This morning I would have you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 34. I was intending earlier this week to preach to you from Acts chapter 7, because I've been in a continuing series on Acts chapter 7. But with Ray Titcomb's passing into the glory to be with Christ, I thought to myself that I would like to preach this message, which I will give to you today, from Mark 6, 30 to 34. The context of these verses is that just before these verses that I'll read to you, John the Baptist had had his head cut off. And the whole thing was a very awful situation where Herod was so pleased with Herodias's daughter and her dancing that he said, "Ask me," in Mark 6:22, "whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And she asked her mother, verse 24, "What shall I ask?" And her mother, having something against John the Baptist because he had publicly reproved Herod and Herodias for their sin of fornication and adultery, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter." And so Herod was very sorry, but not sorry enough to repent of his oaths to his dinner guests. He sent and had this dastardly deed done. And so the apostles have now come to Jesus and have gathered there with him. And these are the words that we will read in just a moment. I want us to pause and pray together before I read them to you. Our Father, we come to you this day and we rejoice in the great purposes of you, our God. We think of the way that your kingdom advances and it does not always advance with the pleasantness that we would like to see it advance, that of just simply hearing the word of God and then people being saved. But often it advances through the difficulties and trials and sufferings of your people in relation to their holding fast the gospel. And we, dear Lord, want to be faithful to you. We want to be faithful to you in laboring for the gospel and preaching the word of God. We want to be faithful also in taking the needed rest that we must have in order to be effective in our service to you. And so we come to you this day that you would work in our hearts so that if we have thoughts that are contrary to the words that are spoken from the scripture, that we would change and that we would accommodate these words in our hearts and minds. We pray that if we are in agreement with them, that we would glory in the ways that you have prepared rest for your people. So we pray that you would come to us and make yourself known to us in the preaching of your word today. For we pray and ask it in your own dear name. Amen. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done, what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Now, to come apart or come aside, as our translation has it, is to come away from what we are usually doing in our duties and our responsibilities and routine in order to find rest and refreshment. The rest and refreshment of the Christian will differ from that of the unbeliever, because it is not only the rest and refreshment of the body that is being sought, it is the rest and refreshment of the soul, that eternal part of our being that needs to be renewed, needs to be strengthened. And as we think of the connection between this section and the previous verses that we have studied before about John the Baptist, we find that there were two reasons which motivated our Lord to issue this command for His disciples to come apart. The first was the death of John the Baptist. There was a deep and real grief that had come not only to John's disciples at the death of their prophet teacher, but that same grief was working in the life of our Lord Jesus and His disciples as well. Grief is something for which Christians ought to come apart for a while. And then secondly, we find here that there was also the problem of the incessant demands of the work of the ministry that had come to Jesus and His disciples. They were so encompassed about with doing good that they did not even have time to eat, the text says. These same kinds of situations exist today in the lives of God's dear people. We are no different from them. Our duties and our responsibilities may be different from theirs, but the principles of truth that we need to learn are the same things that they needed to learn, and therefore it's good for me to preach to you this morning about this subject. It will be good if you listen, because we're living in a day where people are moving faster and faster, faster speeds in their lives, and at times it seems that all of us do not have enough time to accomplish everything that we would like to see accomplished. The demands of school and work and all the duties of caring for our life and the lives of others are upon us every day. They are so great oftentimes that we cannot find rest. We cannot find physical rest, and sometimes we cannot find spiritual rest and refreshment either. And so this is the subject that I want to focus on this morning. How does a Christian find true rest? A rest that God approves of and would give to His people in this hectic world that we live in. I think that we're given here three indications from our text of what the Lord would have us to do in order to find true rest and refreshment that we need to go on in our service to Him. First of all, we need to deliberately come apart from our other labors and duties in that time of rest. We need to, secondly, rest for a while. And third, we need to remember the goal of all of our labors and duties in the time of rest. And the real question that we need to ask ourselves then this morning is this: will I be able to do these things when I should do them and not put them off? First of all, in order to rest, we need to deliberately come apart from other people. We need to deliberately come apart from other people. We need to understand that it's important to come apart and pray and to take counsel with our Lord Jesus Christ. We find that this is what the apostles did when they had come back from the mission that the Lord had set them on. In verse 30, we find that they gathered to Jesus. They told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Now, I'm confident that this was rest to them. They're taking this time to report these things to Him and to commune with Him and to take counsel with Him. You and I do not have this particular privilege of being able to sit with the Lord Jesus physically and to commune and take counsel with Him in this life. But we do have the wonderful privilege of getting together with Him spiritually in prayer. And I'm saying that you and I need to avail ourselves of this privilege. We need to see it as a privilege to get alone with the Lord Jesus. That would a privilege that will bring you rest, that will bring you refreshment, to come apart from the world and all the people and things of the world in order to commune with our Lord spiritually, to tell Him all things that are of concern to you, the things that you have done, the things that you have attempted to teach other people. This will indeed bring strength to your weary soul after all the labors that you've been engaging in. A Christian's labors are both physical and spiritual. And you as a Christian must think of those labors in regard to what has been done and in terms of what is to be done for the Lord. What we have labored at may make us weary. And what is coming causes us to feel tired. Perhaps tired already, just thinking about it. In the week that is past, you may have done many things, whether you are a father or mother, a pastor or a teacher, and you, like the apostles, have taught many things with your lips and with your life. And now, after all that pouring out of strength, you are the weary one, needing rest. How are you to find it? The Christian finds his rest by taking counsel with his Lord. And further, the Christian finds rest, his rest, by rightly considering the Sabbath commandment for his good. Come ye apart. For us, relates to us, first of all, in terms of the Lord's day. When you are weary from your labors, you will find rest not by staying in bed of a Sabbath morning, but by going to attend the worship services of the day. Now that's why you are here now. But do you think about it as rest for your soul? Rest also for your body. This kind of thinking and reasoning is the very opposite of how an unbeliever would think. They would consider the physical way that they feel and then they would act accordingly. It's true whether you realize it or not, the Christian who is seeking to find a true rest will find it here in the sanctuary of God. It's the spiritual rest that you need first and then the physical. That's usually the way that it is. I can remember many times when I was at Sycamore Baptist Church in East Moline, and we were 18 years there, that I was working painting at that time, and I'd be just exhausted on a Wednesday evening. And there was prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. So we went. But I found when I went that after I had heard the Word of God, and after I had prayed and heard others pray, that I came away from that time refreshed and strengthened. Now that's the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, to do these good things. It's not simply that you are clamoring to have more rest at night and you aren't getting enough on your bed in your sleep. You need more than that. You need rest for your soul. But to know the reality of this truth, it's necessary, first of all, that you really come to know the Lord. And this is entering into spiritual rest, which you may be unaware of. And I want you to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Here are the words of Jesus to those who are weary with their labors spiritually in trying to find rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now you can see here that there is a rest which is offered to you in Christ Even for the person who has in the past been trying to justify themselves by their own works in God's sight. But these works that they've been trying to do are dead works in God's sight. God does not recognize them nor accept them. Why is that, you say? Well, He does not recognize them. He does not accept them. Because He does not see them as being wrought in Christ. Being done in Christ. So they're dead works. You need to believe in Jesus so that your works will be accepted in the sight of the Holy God. Instead of trying to merit favor with God this way, you must come to Jesus. You must see your rest in Him. That there's nothing that you can do to be saved except believe in Jesus Christ. That the very best of your works will not save you or cause God to accept you or to merit favor in His sight. When you come to Jesus, you will find rest for your soul. You will find the forgiveness of your sins. I'm asking, have you found this rest? Is your soul resting on the Lord Jesus? Even as John rested on the bosom of Jesus at the supper, do you rest your heart on Jesus? Have you found this rest? When you come to Jesus, there is also this rest for the people of God, which the Lord Jesus promises to those who take up His yoke. That's a very funny terminology, isn't it? Taking up a yoke. But Jesus wants you to be in a yoke with Him. Taking up His yoke is coming to Him for grace every day. And for every good thing that you would desire to do. Let me ask you, do you desire to do good things for God? Well, I trust that you do. But do you come to Jesus in order that you might do these good works in His power and strength and by His grace and to God's glory? That's what I'm asking you here in terms of these verses. Now, taking His yoke up does involve a burden. And that burden is that your greatest desire is to do all things to the glory of God. I wonder if that's the way that we see things sometimes. Do you do all things to please God? Do all the things that you are doing because you want to glorify Him, bring glory to Him? That is, that people would praise Him because of your good works, because they know that it's His grace that has so worked in you that you are now thinking about other people around you and want to do them good. And not simply please yourself. But you see, this burden is light, Jesus is saying, in comparison with the weight and load of sin. You know, sin is always a heavy weight to bear. You may not know it at first. You may think, oh, this sin is very pleasurable. But after a while, it becomes a weight to you and you cannot bear it any longer, the consequences and guilt of your sin. The Lord Jesus has a better and a lighter yoke than that of the world and worldly wise men. It is to do all that we do to the glory of God by the grace of Christ. If you come to Christ, you shall indeed be saved from the yoke of sin. Jesus shall break that yoke off of you. And He will give you a light yoke, His yoke, that you will love to be in this yoke with Him as a joint heir with Jesus of eternal life. Sometimes even when we are a Christian, it still takes us a while to learn this good way of coming to Christ for spiritual strength, to do things, to become all that we can be for God. But if we take this yoke of Christ upon ourselves, He promises us here that we will find rest for our souls. How does this work out practically? Well, I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 23 to 26. Jeremiah 31, verses 23 to 26. Here we find the Lord giving promises to the prophet Jeremiah to give to all who would look to God in faith, and He would raise them up out of their sorrowful, languishing, and tired condition. These people had brought themselves into spiritual captivity because of their sins. But they would be brought out of their captivity, and here are the blessings that God would give them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 23, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and in its cities when I bring back their captivity. The Lord bless you, O home of justice, O mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all its cities together farmers and those going out with their flocks. For I have satiated, that is, that I have satisfied the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. After this, he says, I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Oh, I think this is precious. Now you can see here the promise of New Testament grace for Old Testament hearts. Do you see it? But you and I certainly can, and we should lay hold of it now. How many of us would want to see the church of our Lord Jesus Christ grow stronger? How many of us would like to see His kingdom advance so that the church could be called a home of justice and a mountain of holiness? Who are these farmers and those going out with their flocks in this passage? Are they not pastors and their congregations and Christian parents with their children? It's God who promises to fully satisfy the weary soul and replenish every sorrowful soul. This is something that only God can do, I'm trying to say to you. And He does this by the grace of Christ, the grace of the new covenant. And I hope that each of us here will see today that when we come to view Sunday as being the Sabbath day, the day that's designed by God for each of us to find rest for our souls, that we will embrace this. That we will not see this as legalism, as so many do. This is not legalism. This is God satisfying your soul with His blessed Word and His Holy Spirit, the rivers of living waters for your soul, which come in connection with the preaching of His Word. It was designed for weary men and women, and even weary young people to find rest. But you see, many have not come to see it this way. They are not taking the Sabbath day to find their rest. And some people think about their work on this day. Some will apply themselves to their studies on the Sabbath day instead of to devotional reading and spiritual fellowship. Some would think it permissible to watch worldly movies or television on the Lord's Day. Some are more interested in Sunday night football than they are in the cultivation of their souls, their eternal souls, on the Lord's Day. So instead of growing stronger as Christians, they become weaker. And instead of glorifying God, they become more weary and tired because they are full of thoughts of the many things that have taken place the last week, and they're full of the many thoughts of the things of the coming week. Their souls are not being fully satisfied. They're not being replenished with the strength that they need to continue to do what God has called them to do. Why is this? It's because they've not obeyed this injunction to come apart and get rest. Find rest for a while. Your rest is not first found in physical sleep. You need to understand this. I think that most of us think if we just get 8 hours of sleep, I would be so refreshed. But you see, your rest is not found in the world and its activities and sports, the competitions of men. It's found in spiritual rest and refreshment. It's found in God Himself. It was after Jeremiah's soul was satisfied and replenished, and his sorrow was taken away, that he could say, after this I awoke and I looked around and my sleep was sweet to me. Oh boy, that is very precious. That is just very precious. And I'm asking, is this the way that it is for you, beloved? Do you find rest in your God? If you're not getting enough sleep physically, do you come to God in those times, in the night? Are you coming to Him in the night watches so that you can find rest for your soul, even if your body might feel unrest or agitated? Because the rest of your soul is even more important than the rest of your body in most cases. Come apart and rest a while. Secondly, in order to find true rest and refreshment for our soul and body, we need to rest only for a while. Come aside yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, just for a while. The words a while do not convey a strict length of time, but rather the time that's necessary to find the rest that you are seeking. The rest that is good and necessary for you. The rest that's being spoken of in verse 31 of our text was the rest and refreshment which bodies and souls and spirits of these apostles needed, because there was too much activity and too much work. Verse 31 says there were many coming and going and they did not even have time to eat. Are you like that? Well, sometimes that's the way it is. They were involved in holy work. The Lord knew that they needed this break, and so He gave it to them. And you and I must learn when to take a break from all our work and activity. If we are parents, we need to see when our children need a break. If we are employers, we need to know when to give our employees a break. If Jesus thought in this way about the needs of His apostles and disciples, then we also need to think in this way. Certainly the major weekly break from work and labor is the Sabbath day, as we have seen. But I believe that there is also room for occasional vacations as well. Verse 32 says, "So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves." And so here we see a short vacation planned by the Lord Jesus for the disciples. They went by themselves. There is a time and a place for this kind of planned getaway. It certainly does not look like they took a long vacation, rather a getaway. I have found myself that taking longer vacations and comparing them with shorter vacations, that not necessarily are you more refreshed by taking a long vacation than a short vacation. I don't know how it is with you, but sometimes I find that even just a short time away is more refreshing than a longer time away. I'm saying you should pray about it. You should plan your way according to your need and your ability. If you are around people at all times and they are insistently making demands upon you, as was the case with Jesus and His disciples, then you can see that the way that rest would be obtained for them would be to depart to a deserted place where they wouldn't have that kind of pressure upon them. It was as simple as that. It's good to get out in a boat occasionally. Good to go out, maybe do a little fishing, a little hunting. Get away for a while and be refreshed in that. Just get away for a while. They got away by themselves. It's good to get away, just you and your family at times. Do not plan on taking others with you. outside of the family. It's good to have family times together. It's good to make plans together. If you can't think of a lot of things to do, then plan to do nothing until you can agree as a family what you want to do. The parents obviously ought to take the initiative in this. And employers ought to provide time for a yearly vacation and some personal days off as well for their employees. The reason that I'm preaching about this is because there are some people who are workaholics. I'm sorry to say it, but this is true. They know how to work and they know how to work hard. And that's very commendable, but they do not know how to rest. And this is not only not commendable, but it is unprofitable. It's unprofitable to God and it's unprofitable to men. And it can actually become sinful in some people. They will not only not observe the Sabbath day of rest for worship, but they will not take sufficient rest for themselves. And they will not let others who are under their charge rest either. A good example of this can be found in such companies as Alcoa Aluminum down in Bettendorf, Iowa. I used to live down in that area, and I've been told that they work their people 7 days a week and mandatory overtime. It's a positive evil in regard to the workers and their families, and it should be changed. And it leads to the destruction of the health of the worker and the destruction of the family through the divorces that take place and because a husband and wife and children cannot spend quality time together. It's good to come apart and rest a while. It's good to have time enough to sleep well, to spend time together as a family, to give the Lord His day, and to take occasional vacations. There's a time and a place for each. See to it that you preserve those precious times. It's not good for families if they can never sit down and have a meal together because of the many sports activities which the parents and young people commit themselves to, or because the father is always working late. If these things are taking place in your family, you ought to consider changing it. Ask yourself if you're making time for your family to be together, to worship together, and to read the Word together. Do you have family devotions at all? Do you take time to play together? Do you take time to relax together? If not, I'm saying you need to deliberately sit down and plan a time to come apart by yourselves. And third, the third thing that we should think about in terms of our finding real rest is this: the goal of all of our labors and duties during that time of rest. Verses 33 and 34 of our text. Verse 33 shows us how very difficult it was for the Lord Jesus and His disciples to find rest or to even come apart for a short time. It says, "But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to Him." And the reaction of the Lord Jesus to all of this frantic scrambling around to get at Him is very interesting. It says in verse 34, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things." Now, you know, if the Lord Jesus had tolerated sin for one moment in His being, He could have not reacted this way that He did. He probably would have said something like this if He had tolerated sin for one moment in His being: "Oh, no, not more people. Can't we find any place to get away and be alone? Why can't people just realize that my disciples and I are exhausted? We're tired and we need a break." You know, He could have just told them to go away, that they were bothering Him. But His reaction was very different. The text says that He was moved with compassion. And this is what we should remember in the closing of this message. We need to remember that the goal of all that we are doing, even when we rest, is that God might be glorified and that He might be served in the best way that we possibly can. But He's often best served by our having compassion on people around us and thinking about their needs. The goal of coming apart is to find rest and refreshment for ourselves. But that goal is only sought so that the greater goal of glorifying God through our service to other people might be attained. And so we need to keep that goal in mind. The interruptions to your personal peace and quiet in obtaining rest, all those interruptions are ordained by God. Are you aware of that? Whatever interrupts you during the day, whatever interrupts your schedule, whatever is bothersome in that way, all of that is ordained by God. Why? So that you might learn patience. And so that you might learn to show compassion to those who need what you have to give them. And Christ showed His disciples the way to find rest. It was to come apart for a while. But He also showed them the way to advance His kingdom. And that was by showing compassion to those who needed a shepherd. Let's you and I do the same. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this passage. And we pray that we would learn this important lesson of rest. That there are times when we are grieving that we need to come apart and rest. And there are times when we are working ourselves to the bone and we need to come apart and rest. And we need wisdom in these things, Lord. These are good things. Work is a good thing. But we pray, our Father, that we would have the right balance in everything so that we would be wise, holy, and joyful, and compassionate people. We pray that You will teach us Your way in regard to these truths. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close our time of worship by standing and we'll sing together hymn number 31. My God, how wonderful Thou art. What an amazing hymn this is, describing God, His majesty, how bright, how beautiful, His mercy seat in depths of burning light, and then goes on to talk about the love of our hearts for Him. Let's sing this together.
My God, how wonderful Thou art, Thy majesty, how bright, how beautiful Thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. How dread are Thine eternal years, O everlasting Lord, by holy angels day and night incessantly adored. Oh, how I fear Thee too, God, with deepest, tenderest fears, and worship Thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. Yet I may love Thee too, O Lord, almighty as Thou art, for Thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart. No earthly father loves like Thee, no mother half so mild, bears and forbears as thou hast done with me, thy sinful child. How wonderful, how beautiful the sight of thee will be. Thine endless wisdom, boundless power and awful purity.
Amen. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and go with you. You are dismissed.